Blaze Radio Network.
And now, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher.
Way back in 2022, Boeing, you know, the company that's been in the news for, I don't know, issues with their airliners, invested $450 million in a company called Wisk. That company was working on a flying car. Then in 2023, Boeing said, you know what, we're just going to absorb you all. We're going to take the whole company. It all belongs to us now. Now, they believe that by 2030, Wisk's autonomous flying taxis will be operating in Asia. Now, that sounds good, but how about we just take a step back and focus on the airliners flying around the globe and make sure that those are working up to order before we worry about the autonomous flying taxis flying in our skies, because we know we're going to be dark with drones, and now we're going to have drone taxis darkening our skies as well. Let's just take a step back and make sure that the airliners are working properly. And that goes for all the airlines as well. It isn't just Boeing's fault, but, you know, they're at the forefront of this debacle. We'll just call it a debacle. So before we get into the autonomous flying taxis, they specifically say operating in Asia, it'll be here in the United States ASAP. Let's work on the airliners, okay? That's just a thought from me. Welcome to Chewing the Fat. Today is a day of celebration. If you're listening live, it is the 22nd of April, 2024, and it is Earth Day. Yay! We should have had an Earth Day celebration. We should have brought people together and eaten on paper plates and been drinking out of red Solo cups and burning wood for a giant bonfire, all in celebration of Earth Day. Maybe we can use aerosol can paint cans to create artwork of their own on Earth Day. It'd be a wonderful celebration. But hey, have a good day and make sure that you do all the things that you should do to celebrate Earth Day. Also, it's a day of celebration, though, because we got news that the 2024 inductees to the Rock Hall of Fame have been announced. And yes, Foreigner finally made it. And I will say that I know that in this story, they talk about how it's been a big push by all these stars, Mark Ronson and Jack Black and Slash and McCartney and Grohl. Yeah. You know who is biggest proponent of this? The Blaze, Pat Gray, and Pat Gray Unleashed program, and of course, Chewing the Fat. We get no mention for that, but I will say that it was good to see this happen. So the new inductees are Mary J. Blige, Cher. I knew Cher would make it. Man, there's no doubt that Cher was going to make it. Foreigner, yay! A Tribe Called Quest, Kool & the Gang, and Ozzy Osbourne have been inducted into the Rock Hall of Fame. Now, it also includes Dave Matthews Band, and singer-guitarist Peter Frampton. So, congratulations to all the latest inductees to the Rock Hall of Fame. According to John Sykes, chairman of the Rock Hall of Fame Foundation, said that rock and roll is an ever-evolving amalgam of sounds that impacts culture and moves generations. Oh, thank you. This diverse group of inductees each broke down musical barriers and influenced countless artists that followed in their footsteps. So the ceremony is going to take place the 19th of October at the Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse in Cleveland, Ohio. It's going to stream live on Disney Plus with an airing on ABC at a later date and available on Hulu the next day. So wait, I could watch it live on Disney Plus. I could watch it immediately following on Hulu, but ABC is going to air it at some later date with their production and commercials. Good for them. It'll be great. Mariah Carey didn't make it. Lenny Kravitz didn't make it. Sinead O'Connor didn't make it. Saturday, didn't make it. Britpopper's Oasis, well, I'm devastated about that. And the hip-hop duo Eric B. and Rakim, the alt-rockers Jane's Addiction, did not make it. Very sad, very sad. Now, there's some other nominees that went in that were just, you know, they get special awards. Alexis Corner, John Mayall, and Big Mama Thornton earned the Musical Influence Award. The late Jimmy Buffett, MC5, and Dionne Warwick, and Norman Whitfield will get the Musical Excellence Award. And the pioneering music executive, Suzanne DePasse, is it Suzanne DePasse, won the Ahmet Ertegun Award. And man, there's nothing. Congratulations to Suzanne DePasse for winning the Ahmet Ertegun Award. Anyway, it's about time that Foreigner was inducted into the Rock Hall of Fame. You knew Cher was going to get in. And of course, they throw this in there that she is the only artist to have a number one song in each of the past 6 decades. That's pretty huge. And Blige has 8 multi-platinum albums and 9 Grammy Awards. And that will help boost the number of women in the hall. So that is great because critics say it's, well, it's far too low. Well, maybe, you know, I don't know, more women should start playing rock and roll. Hey, but I digress. So congratulations. Ozzy, of course, got in, but he's already in with Black Sabbath. That was just we'll let Ozzy get in on his own. Congratulations. So congratulations to Foreigner for finally making it into the Rock Hall of Fame. It is long overdue. And, you know, now that Foreigner is going to be inducted into the Rock Hall of Fame in October in Cleveland, Ohio, at the Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse, maybe you're thinking to yourself, you know, we should move to Cleveland. So if you're thinking about that, maybe you should get a hold of realestateagentsitrust.com. Or, you know what, if you're thinking about moving anywhere, you should get a hold of realestateagentsitrust.com. Whether you're trying to buy or sell a home or both, you've discovered that that's a major undertaking. And almost nothing about getting a house ready to put on the market is easy if you're going to do it the right way. And negotiating a sale when you're wanting to buy, it's not as straightforward as it sounds. You're going to want the best real estate agent you can get your hands on. Good news is you can find that agent by going through Glenn's company, Real Estate Agents I Trust. The name kind of says it all, Real Estate Agents I Trust. Duh. He had a tough time trying to sell one home in particular, and I think he ended up selling it for, I don't know, $40. It was under $40 that he finally sold the house for. And he kept changing real estate agents, and he figured what a nightmare it was. And he figured he wasn't the only one having a problem finding a decent real estate agent. And that's why he started realestateagentsitrust.com. They are real estate agents that we pair you with the top sellers in your area, the people who really know the ropes of the business because they do it full time and they care about getting it right. So check them out. Whether you're trying to buy or sell a home, realestateagentsitrust.com. Realestateagentsitrust.com. Whether you're trying to move to where, you know, you really want to live, or Cleveland, realestateagentsitrust.com. Be sure to follow me on my social media accounts at JeffyJFR on X, Jeff Fisher Radio on Facebook and Instagram. My YouTube channel is Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher. You can email the show anytime, chewingthefat@theblaze.com. And you can order a cameo from me at JeffyJFR on the Cameo app. That, of course, is not free, but that's the way it works. You order the cameo, tell me what you want, and I do it. I am Cameo's trained monkey. So just do that at JeffyJFR on the Cameo app. So I was reading a story about a company named ReWorld. Now, it used to be called Covanta, I guess, or Covanta, C-O-V-A-N-T-A, but now it's rebranding to ReWorld. And what ReWorld does is it's a recycling company. Now, according to them, they have fished out $10 million in discarded coins in the past 7 years. They claim only $6 million of it was good enough shape to use. Now, according to this story, $68 million worth of change gets chucked every year. Oh, wow. Okay, no problem. So apparently coins are, you know, like junk to people. And, you know, they, you know, if you lost a $100 bill, you'd be looking for that, or a $20 bill, you'd be looking for that. Yeah, we really would. But according to ReWorld, collecting change in 2017, they began collecting it in 2017 after noticing more of it in the trash. Now, they recover 550,000 tons of metals annually, soda cans, pipes, keys, silverware. And then they break it up and they go through the sorting machines and they sort it out and they look for flat pieces of metal, coins, lighter metals like aluminum, that kind of thing. And they get a truckload and it takes about 35, 40 minutes to go through and break, spit everything out. And then they pull the coins out and they spread them out and they dry them out on this iron rack. They have human checkers wearing gloves. They sorted through the buckets of material, separating the good coins from everything else. Now, the trash that they receive is incinerated before it reaches the facility. So some coins are mangled beyond recognition. And of the $10 million in coins, they, like I said, they recovered like $6 million. That's good enough to use. They gather anywhere from $500,000 to $1 million in coins a year. And then they turn it over to a third party to count and deposit to local banks. So I don't know how much the third party gets of that. For, you know, having having their employees break it up, make sure it's good enough, and then they take it to the bank, and the bank takes it from them. That's nice. But that's a lot of money. That is a whole bunch of money, because change, coins, aren't really used anymore. And people get pissed when you viewers show up with a bag full of coins and have to pay for stuff with a bag full of coins. You're just mad that you're in line behind somebody that's pulling out all these coins and paying their bill. Don't you have a credit card to use? Don't you have a debit card? Don't you have just some dollar bills you can pay with? Now, the banks, I don't even know how you give money to the banks anymore, a change like that. I guess you, if you roll it up and take it in, they take it from you, if you roll it up. But they don't. I don't think most banks take loose change anymore. If you went in with loose change, they would say, hey, here's some money rolls. You go count it, roll it up, and bring it back to us in the rolls. I think that's what happens. Now, you have the Coinstar kiosks that are in grocery stores and gas stations, which I have not used before, but I guess they operate like, I don't know, 24,000 kiosks across the country. And I don't know what they charge, right? That they've got to charge something for that. I haven't actually. I see the machines. I never looked at it. I probably should. But, I mean, some of those machines, I think, were getting into trouble at one point because they were counting wrong, right? They would say, oh, you only have 20 bucks. And you really had 25. And so that's over about the amount of time that turns into a lot of money. I don't even know if it was that bad, but it does. It was an issue with some of these machines. So just be careful and know what you have. And if this company's making $10 million in the last 7 years with just collecting coins that have been thrown in the trash, that's a pretty good business in and of itself. But that's not what they really care about. They care about the strategic evolution to redefine partnerships in waste management, focusing on converting waste into valuable resources through advanced technological applications. That's what ReWorld really is, a reimagining. A reimagining trash, and good for them. Good for them. And good for us here on the Earth, because they're making the Earth a better place, aren't they? All right, let's go to the break room. I need something cold to drink desperately. Yeah, I was thinking instead of, digging through your sofa and old junk stuff for coins, maybe you just play the lotto. Maybe you just win the lotto. We haven't checked in a while, and I see where the Powerball is a drawing tonight for $115 million jackpot for $53 million cash value. And then tomorrow, the Mega Millions is back up to $202 million for the jackpot, $91.3 million for tomorrow's drawing. So, yeah, it might be worth it just to do that instead of, looking around for pennies and coins. But if you need to, you need to. I get it. I get putting all the... You know, we try to put, been a while since I've looked, but I know there's some jars around here with all the, the silver coins, and then there's a jar for the pennies, and who knows? I mean, it's been so long since I've counted pennies. I know there's some boxes around here with, rolled coins up, so maybe in 100 years, there may be a point when I need them, and there used to be a point when I needed them, and it could happen again in a heartbeat, so if you need them, you need them, but good luck. Good luck. So there's a couple new shows that I was reading about this weekend that I'm looking forward to. No, really, I am. So Sue Bird and Megan Rapinoe have a new deal for a scripted series, Cleat Clue. Man, do I want to see this show. So Sue Bird and Megan Rapinoe, the couple, they're sports icons. Okay. Under their production banner, A Touch More, they've teamed up with independent TV studio Future Shack Entertainment, and they're developing Cleat Cute, and that's from the best-selling novel from author Meryl Wilsner. Her novel, Cleat Cute, is a contemporary queer romance that follows a young soccer player as she juggles being the new rookie, her goals of making the national team, and a budding romance with her team captain. Man, do I want to see that. Look, we know that sports is the universal language and breeding ground for world-class storytelling. Yeah, it sure is. It sure is. Now, it has to be a good story. So, we'll see. We'll see how Touchmore's head of development, Camille Bernier-Green, will executive produce the forthcoming project. Alongside Wilsner, we brought her on board, of course. This is her book we're basing the show on. It'll be great. It will just be great. I can't wait. I can't wait for A Touch More, headed up by Sue Bird, Megan Rapinoe, to create this entertainment juggernaut of a show called Cleat Cute. Man, that's gonna be so good. And now we have Netflix saying that they have now landed the series Calabasas from Kim Kardashian, Marlene King, and Emma Roberts following a bidding war. So everybody wanted it, and Netflix pulled through with more cash. It's Calabasas is based on the book If You Lived Here, You'd Be Famous By Now. That's great. If you lived here, you'd be famous by now. So Kardashian is executive producing with King and her partner Lauren Wagner for Long Lake Media and Bellatrice Productions. The project quickly started coming together after King pitched to her series of ideas and wanted to be who she wanted to be as the showrunner, and Kardashian and her family made the town of Calabasas a name known worldwide. So her involvement elevated the package in a big way. Yeah, no kidding. So I know that they worked together on American Horror Story Delicate, whose part two currently is airing on FX. And so we're going to, we'll see. We'll see how it works out. But can't wait for Calabasas, a TV series on Netflix. So it'll be great. Based on If You Lived Here, You'd Be Famous By Now. So CBS is making some cuts. So the show So Help Me Todd is being canceled, which is incredible because the show, I never watched it. I watched all the promos and I did not did not grab me at all. I thought it was, I know it's supposed to be a dramedy, but did not catch me. But CSI Vegas, when it's in its third season, they're not returning that. Have a nice day. You're gone. See you later. Now, it wasn't that bad. This last season, I think, you know, that they're working on right now is so-so. But I love the CSI banner, and I love what they do with the show. But sorry about it. Have a nice day. CBS is not doing it. Now, that having been said, CBS has, you know, got some top shows on their shelf. I mean, a lot of people are watching the CBS shows, so they've got to make some cuts. Plus, they're working on the new NCIS Origins, which is going to follow a younger version of Leroy Jethro Gibbs. Okay, they've got a new Sherlock Holmes medical drama, Watson, and Kathy Bates is doing a reboot of Matlock. I can't wait for that. I will watch that just to see what it's like. Because, you know, Matlock, hello, come on now. One of my favorite lines is from the show Matlock. Murder is a messy business. That's been Matlock. And they also have two new comedies, Young Sheldon spinoff and Poppy's House. So we'll see. So CSI Vegas and So Help Me Todd, take a hike. Good luck and God bless. Now, I guess Blue Bloods is over too. This is its final season. So that's kind of a bummer. I mean, I watch that show and I'm a fan of Blue Bloods a lot. So I guess he retires and this is how they're going to end Blue Bloods. All right, I'm going to tell you right now. If you watch Blue Bloods, I'm going to tell you how the show should be ended. Or should end. All right. Our man, Police Commissioner Reagan, retires, and his son Jamie becomes the new police commissioner, heralding on the Reagan tradition. And that's the end of the show. No more Blue Bloods. It's over, and we're done. And Jamie takes over. What do you think? That's the end. I mean, Grandpa may die. Danny may, I don't know whether he retires or not, he becomes a security guy, he may stay just to be a detective still, and Jamie becomes the new police commissioner, and the wife is still a cop, or she becomes a captain, or maybe she just retires because Jamie's the police commissioner, she's pregnant, so she doesn't want to work anymore and be a cop, she wants to raise their family, and Aaron becomes a district attorney. So the Reagan family still continue on in New York. The end. Thanks for watching Blue Bloods all these years. And we're sitting around the table, and the empty chair where Grandpa used to sit is there. And it's sad, but it's happy because it's the end of the show. Have a nice day. Now, a couple more shows that CBS has that apparently is, they're still awaiting word. NCIS Hawaii, they're going to stick with that show. Hello, that follows NCIS. It's got to be a top show because it comes on after NCIS, duh. And The Equalizer, I have not watched that since the first or second season. They, I don't know, it kind of lost me after the first couple seasons. And then they gave What's-His-Face, Chris Noth, the boot. You know, or the booth, either one. But he's not on the show anymore. And so it just kind of lost the whole thing. Queen Latifah and her partners, I don't know, just kind of lost it. So I would be surprised if they don't cancel that. Although, in today's, you know, diversity, equity, and inclusion shows, The Equalizer is definitely in there. So is NCIS, though. NCIS Hawaii is definitely DEI compliant. There's no question about that. So those shows probably still stay on the docket. There was a story about Delta Burke, the actress, who was, well, of course, she's on some podcast named Glamorous Trash, which I'm sure is a fine podcast. And she said that she started taking prescription pills while in Europe, and then arriving back in the States, the pills she was taking in London were illegal, so had to get some more black beauties. Yeah, that's what Johnny Cash got in trouble with, going to Mexico for those, but hey, whatever. And she would take the pills in the morning so you don't eat. Yeah, that's what they did. Speed is a beautiful thing. The speed that thrills is the speed that kills. And so then they were more like medicine to me, Were they? Eventually, the pills became less effective as she built up a tolerance. Yeah, that's what happens with them, Delta. Duh. Maybe you should be talking about that on Glamorous Trash. Anyway, so then she claims that she was offered crystal meth as a substitute. Nobody knew about crystal meth at the time. And they told me, hey, snort the drug. But that just didn't feel right to me. So instead, I just put it in cranberry juice. And so I would drink a glass before going to work, and I was starring in Filthy Rich at the time, and I wouldn't eat for 5 days, and they were saying, your butt's too big, your leg's too big, and now I look back at those pictures, and I go, I was a freaking goddess. Yeah, you were a freaking goddess because you were high on meth. I couldn't snort it, so I just dumped baggies of it into my drink, into my what was she drinking again? Oh yeah, her cranberry juice. Yeah, okay, so it doesn't count then. I mean, I'm sure she was, you know, she was part of that Hollywood machine, and she was on those shows, that Designing Women, and they were all told that, you know, you're too fat, lose weight, you got to look better. I mean, absolutely. I mean, that's the Hollywood machine. And she said that she handled it as best she could, I guess, but she said Hollywood messes up your head. And I always wanted to be a famous actress, and I thought that meant that that would be famous and well-respected, but that's not what that meant. At the moment I became famous, I was like, oh, no, this is not what I had in mind at all. I don't think I want to be this anymore. And then it's too late. Yeah, you're doing meth and taking the money. Who died today? Well, let's begin with Mandisa Lynn Hundley, the American Idol star, dead at the age of 47. Now, she's known professionally as Mandisa. She passed away at her home in Nashville at the age, like I said, of 47. She rose to fame on season 5 of American Idol. She competed against Chris Doughty and Keller Pickler and Catherine McPhee. And she finished in 9th place, but she became a fan favorite and then went on to become a Christian rock radio station staple, platinum-selling artist, Grammy winner. She also got a hug from Simon after Simon ripped her apart, and then she came back and, you know, Simon said he was humbled by her and I'm sure helped her become a big star. So we don't know what the deal is. We don't know. They have not announced, as far as I know, they have not announced why she passed away, the cause of death. It just, I see a lot of posts that says, you know, her struggle is over. So that doesn't, that does not bode well for why she left us. So if she was, if we're all saying, well, her struggle is now over, that means it was some sort of addiction or some sort of, you know, self-harm. So, but it, you know, it might have been that too. It doesn't say because no cause was listed. So rest in peace to Mandisa, dead at the age of 47. Then we have Roman Gabriel, former NFL quarterback, dead at the age of 83. I loved Roman Gabriel, and I did not know that he was the first Filipino-American quarterback. I thought he was just a quarterback in the NFL. It's so strange that we have to break it down. He was the first Filipino-American quarterback in the NFL and the league MVP in 1969. Yeah, he was awesome. He has passed away at the age of 83. Apparently, he had heart problems and arthritis. Yeah, he played in the National Football League. Of course, he had arthritis. he's probably lucky to walk. So anyway, and if he already had heart problems, I don't know if Roman, you know, had anything to, you know, on the forefront of that, but that definitely could have, you know, jettisoned those heart problems. But anyway, Roman Gabriel, the first Filipino, oh my gosh, American quarterback, dead at the age of 83. Then we have Sir Andrew Davis. And I know you know who Sir Andrew Davis is. Don't look at me like that. He's the BBC conductor. He died at the age of 80. He performed with many of the world's finest orchestras. And I'm sure if you head to orchestra concerts as much as I do, you know who Sir Andrew Davis is. And he had leukemia, so it wasn't that. Well, anyway, that they're blaming it on leukemia. So Sir Andrew Davis, the world-renowned conductor, dead at the age of 80. Then we have very sad news from the Topeka Zoo. No one supports zoos more than this show and me, Jeff Fisher and Chewing the Fat. But Topeka Zoo has lost their 5-year-old ostrich, Karen. And Karen was a vibrant and beloved ostrich. Succumbed to complications arising from consuming a foreign object. The foreign object was one of the workers' sets of keys. Now, Karen, she was a resident of the Topeka Zoo since the opening of Giraffe and Friends in March of 2023. Obviously, Karen was part of the And Friends group. And she was known for her water-loving habits. She liked to swim in the pool and play in the sprinkler. And best of all, according to zoo guests and staff alike who had formed deep connections with her, she was our dancing queen and captivated all of us with her playful antics. But she should not have grabbed the keys from the worker, and she immediately swallowed them. And experts from across the country, we consulted with them. We wanted to undergo surgical and non-surgical efforts to minimize the impact of the keys, but they were unsuccessful. And the Topeka Zoo remains committed to ensuring the well-being of all our animals, which I'm sure they do. And I'm sure they're implementing even more rigorous protocols to safeguard against such incidents in the future. Yeah, workers, you know the ostriches are dumb. And so what are you doing walking around with your keys on your belt? So, very sad. Very sad. I know we'll be investigating what happened here and what's going on. And we better have some video of this accident happen, because if it looks like one of the zoo workers said, "Hey, I'm sick of Karen. Here, take my keys and eat these. We'll see how much you like that." I hope that didn't happen, because then you're going down for that, Topeka Zoo worker. I'm sure that's not what happened. I'm sure it was a complete accident, and everyone is really sad that we lost Karen, 5-year-old Karen, at the Topeka Zoo. She was there, dancing queen at the Topeka Zoo Giraffe and Friends exhibit. Rest in peace, Karen. Okay, so now we've got bird flu to worry about in our food, and even, jumping to humans. Maybe I should have put these guys in Who Died Today. Two hunters have become the first Americans to die from zombie deer disease after eating infected venison. Yeah, they definitely should have been in Who Died Today. So the new study suggests that the two men in Wyoming died from chronic wasting disease. Oh, okay. Also in the story, it says there have been no confirmed cases in humans. Well, I mean, I guess that's not true, because if these two guys died from it, then it's actually, has got in to humans. So experts have been warning for years that nearly 100% fatal chronic wasting disease, which leaves deer confused, drooling, and unafraid of humans, could jump from animals to people. Have they? That's the same thing they do with bird flu. Well, it could happen. Probably not, though. Probably not. Well, yeah, it happens. But the new study theorizes that it has already happened. Yeah, no kidding. They died in 2022 after eating contaminated venison. Okay, and because the chronic wasting disease is so contagious, when one deer is confirmed to have died from it, the entire herd is infected. Oh, that's great. At least 32 states in America and parts of Canada have seen reports of a virus dubbed zombie deer disease. No cases have been confirmed to people. Yes, it has! We've already confirming it! So, he was diagnosed after his death, which is the brain-wasting condition that's been compared to mad cow disease, with Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. Man, you do not want that. You do not want the Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. CJD. You do not want that. That's zombie disease, deer disease. You don't want it. The hunter's friend also died from the disease, but there were limited details about his condition in the research published last week in the Journal of Neurology, which is what I was saying when I was reading the latest Journal of Neurology. Why aren't they telling me more about the friend? But, you know, I digress. So the researchers are from Texas, but details about where the deaths happened is also not known. What do you mean? It was Wyoming, right? That's what they said. All right, so CJD, caused by misfolded proteins. I hate that. When proteins do not fold into the correct shape. I do not like that at all. So researchers believe that due to a history of both hunters eating meat from that infected herd, they could have actually developed CWD, chronic wasting disease. So now we can't even eat venison. What is happening? The world, we are in deep doo-doo, man. So apparently chronic wasting disease was initially discovered in Colorado back in 1967. It's now been found in animals in at least 32 states, 4 Canadian provinces, and 4 other foreign countries. This is according to the CDC. The 3 states with the largest distribution of CWD-infected deer are Kansas, Nebraska, and Wisconsin. Wow, I'm surprised Michigan isn't in on that list. So Kansas has 49 counties, Nebraska has 43 counties, Wisconsin has 43 counties. The most recent case in deer was in Kentucky last fall, according to the Kentucky Department of Fish and Wildlife. So be careful out there. Be careful out there, because you do not want CJD. You do not want CWD. And you just don't want it. You just don't want it. I don't know. It doesn't say if it matters how you cook it. I don't think it does, because they were saying with the bird flu, make sure you cook the meat. You don't want any rare meat, because that's how you get the bird flu. That's what was in the story. I'm not telling you anything. I'm just letting you know. But it doesn't say in this story if it depends on how you cook it. Like if I cook my venison well done, does that cook out zombie deer disease? I don't think it does. I don't think it does. I don't think, no matter how you cook it, medium well done, I think you still get the zombie deer disease no matter how you cook it, which is kind of a bummer. So I thought you could almost steal anything and walk out of a store and get away with it in today's world. But this story about a man in Austin, Texas, was robbing a Walgreens, or at least he was accused by an employee of shoplifting at a Walgreens in Austin, okay? And so he's a 33-year-old male, Jonathan Steele, and he now is in jail. I think he's still in jail. He was on $1,500 bond. And so an employee accused him of shoplifting, leading to an argument between the two in the parking lot, which, I mean, I don't even, does that even happen anymore in today's world? I don't know why that employee would be, you know, after Jonathan for stealing something from the Walgreens. You just, in today's world, you just let him go. I'm all for it. I'm just saying, in today's world, you just let him go. That's what happens. So during the altercation in the parking lot, Jonathan threw Pop-Tarts at the employee. Now, the employee got hit in the collarbone, causing minor injury. Shut up. But okay, that's what they say. So now he faces second degree felony robbery charges. He should have just walked away, man. The rule of thumb, he should have just walked away. Don't throw the Pop-Tarts at the other human beings. Keep them for yourself. But he threw the Pop-Tarts, and now he's in trouble because he caused minor injury to the Walgreens employee when the Pop-Tarts hit him in the collarbone. That is awesome. I don't know what's worse, that the guy was shoplifting Pop-Tarts from a Walgreens and just walked out. He might have had more on him, but they only mentioned the Pop-Tarts. Or the employee who has minor injury because of a thrown Pop-Tart. I know. So I hope everything works out for everyone involved. And just remember, don't throw the Pop-Tarts.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.